Welcome back, everybody, to Finding My Perfect Awkward. And this week I am with arena host of the Seattle Kraken and one of two of Strawberry and Lizette on 107.9 Strawberry. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm good, and I love that there are more podcasts about radio people and for radio people and about radio stuff. Like, I think that we can all learn from each other. We should all network with each other. We have a lot of the same, backstories or problems that the average person outside the industry wouldn't get. So I love that there are these niche lanes for us to not only network and collaborate, but to actually be like, just to talk to radio people. So I love this. And by the way,
We're actually somewhat twinning because I have my radio fam merch on too.
I love that. I
Look
love
at
it.
us. Look at us. And we're both green, different
Yes, we are.
shades, but look at us being all festive.
Absolutely.
No, but I totally agree with you. Thank you so much for the compliment, first of all. But I totally agree that like networking and connecting is, what keeps us all sane and keeps us all together and, is what this industry itself and outside is built on. So
Yeah.
thank you.
Sure.
Right, Strawberry. So I want to know, first of all, your media journey, both radio and outside, and how
Okay.
you got to where you're at now.
Whew. Long story. I'll try to condense it as possible. PPM. So that's a little radio joke. But anyway, so I was the kid that was big into radio, calling up radio stations, winning prizes, making dedications, whatever. I was that kid. I was in high school, and the commercial radio station in San Jose, Hot 97.7, the guy said, "Hey, I'm the brand new night guy, and I want to meet people. I'm throwing a party in the studio." So my buddy, who was in high school with me, he's like, "Yo, let's go to the radio station." And so we went in. I was already fascinated with radio. We met the guy. I got my first behind the scenes peek of what radio is. And we hung out for a while. I started talking to the guy, and he goes, "I literally just moved into town last week. I need someone to answer my phones every night. Do you want to be my intern?" I'm like, "Yeah, what's that?" He goes, "Well, you go to your school and you tell them to get like a work permit, and you fill it out, and you get a grade for taking this class." And that was great. It was my dream. But one of the things he said to me all these years later still stuck with me. He said, "I'm going to open a door that's very hard to get into, but you're going to have to work your ass off to stay on the inside." And he did that, and I did that, and I saw so many other people get opportunities or internships or chances, and they blew it, or they half-assed it, or they did something stupid, so I'm just like, "Hey, this is my dream. If I want to live it, I got to work my ass off." And I did. I was the phone op, I was the van driver, I was the overnight on Christmas Eve guy. I became the weekend guy and then moved up to the night show. And then, I went from San Jose to San Francisco for many, many years. San Francisco to Phoenix, Phoenix back to San Francisco to Seattle, Seattle back to the Bay Area. So bounced around a little bit, but it's because of the work ethic that was instilled in me by some of the best people in this industry. And I was a sponge, and I soaked it up, and I work hard, and I try to help other people out when they get their opportunities as well.
For sure. And where I know, but let everybody else know where you're at right now and what you're doing specifically right now.
Okay, so my home base is now Sacramento. Lizette Love and I, we were in Seattle. That's where we met. We relaunched Cube 93.3 in Seattle about 5 years ago. And that morning show did very, very well. So well that they said, "You know what? We want you to, as a team, to relaunch a station in Sacramento. So how do you feel about relocating from Seattle to Sacramento? And we're going to put you on a couple other stations, et cetera, et cetera." So we took our morning show. It's now in the afternoons, which means we get to sleep in and have a normal life and still do a kick-ass show. So our home base is Sacramento on KISS 107.9. And then I'm also on another station in Sacramento. I'm on several stations individually throughout iHeart and then some other companies. And then our goal is to take our show, the Strawberry and Lizette show, and put it on other stations as well. So it's not just like us individually doing shows. We want to take our afternoon show and put it out there in the world. So that's where we are now, top of being the in-arena host of the Seattle Kraken NHL game.
So you go back and forth a lot.
Yeah, I got a long commute.
Yeah, I was about to say, I just went to Seattle for the very first time. And like, even just from Portland to Seattle, I'm like, oh, no, that's okay. I'll make a separate trip to Portland. But you go to Sacramento, or you go from Sacramento to Seattle all the time. That's insane.
It is. It was a great opportunity. I mean, this is the Seattle Kraken's second season. I got the opportunity last year for their inaugural season to be one of the in-arena hosts. And, you know, I'm working with the NHL. I'm working with a major league sports team.
Yeah.
So it's huge. I'm on a massive platform. And that was great when I was living and working in Seattle. Over the summer, when I relocated to Sacramento, I talked to my higher ups and I said, the Seattle Kraken want me to come back for season two. There's going to be some transportation issues that's going to happen, and I'll have to do some of my Sacramento shows remote from Seattle. Can we work it out? They said, absolutely. It's a great opportunity for you.
Wow.
And so that's what I do. My partner, Lizette, is very flexible with me and my weird travel schedule. And sometimes we have to pre-record in the morning, and sometimes I'll be in Seattle, she'll be in Sacramento. We connect via internet and we do our show together. But it's all to be on that platform and to maintain the relationship with a, you know, a major league sports team. And, you know, that can open me up to other opportunities as well.
Are you a big hockey fan?
I am learning. I'm learning.
Okay.
And I grew up playing soccer, and a lot of people try to like translate that for me. Like, oh, well, in soccer, they do this.
They're closer together than people think.
Yeah. And the mistake a lot of people make is trying to watch hockey on TV. TV doesn't do the sport justice. TV is boring to watch the hockey games. You got to go to a game. You got to feel the energy of the crowd. You got to watch the fights happen. You got to see how fast the puck moves. Like, it's so different. It's so different.
So I went to my first hockey game a few years back, and I had never seen a game on TV. I had never even tried to score watch or like do anything. And I went to a VGK game and it was my first game. It was incredible. Now, I am from Vegas. I am a VGK fan for life. I'm not sorry, but like, you know.
But there is a rivalry for people outside.
There is a rivalry.
For outside the hockey world, there is a Vegas and Seattle Kraken rivalry. Vegas, I heard, puts on an amazing show. The show presentation, the in-arena hosts, and the entertainment there, I heard it's top-notch.
It is insane. So you take the team rivalry out of it. Yeah. The like presentation of it all is just, it's epic. It's so insane. The way that they have all of the visual effects just gets you pumped. And then they have all of the, just all of the other effects, like the sound effects and all of the, of course, the in-arena hosts. Just like, my hat goes off to you, first of all, because one, that's a fun job, but it's a difficult job to get an entire arena up and going all throughout the game. And, you know, having you like keep that energy up all throughout the game too, like, hat goes off to you. But it's VGK games are insane. But yeah, I went to my first VGK game and I was hooked on hockey, like, altogether. I can watch it on TV, I can listen on the radio, I can watch it in person. I am obsessed. And even down to the minor leagues.
Okay.
I love minor league hockey. Yeah, I am all in, full blown. I fangirled when I went to Seattle for the first time and I saw your arena.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Were you at a game? Cool. Did you come to a crack?
None. Oh, there was no game and I was there. I have to go back because that is on my short-term bucket list to go to. Yeah. I have gone to a Kraken game, but it was VGK versus Kraken. So I was, you know, I was in a zone.
I do want to go to that. I want to go there. But I'm lucky enough to work with a great entertainment team. And this is what we do, though. I was lucky enough to get into hosting the Kraken games in the middle of the pandemic. So it was the pandemic. There was no concerts. There was no club events. There was no live van hits. There was no listener interaction that we normally do. And this is what we do. We can entertain and hype a crowd of 18,000 people. That's what we do. We're able to walk out onto a stage at one of our concerts and get everybody ready for the headlining act. So it just played hand in hand with what we normally do in our skill set. And I was lucky because during the pandemic, a lot of us lost that listener interaction, those high fives and hugs from people that listen to us on the radio, and we don't have that immediate effect. So when the hockey when the in-arena host for the hockey game came up, it was a perfect fit for me. And I got that thing that we were missing for 2 years. I got to be in front of a crowd, and that was taken away from most of us. And most of us in radio are really, really good at entertaining live crowds.
On the other side, when you go into that and you have the positive feelings and you have like the hypeness going into it, and you're like, yeah, this is like, we're back, or like, yeah, we're doing this regardless of whatever's going on in the outside world, they can feel that too. So I'm sure it's both ways. What is some advice that you have for people who are new to the industry or who want to get into the industry?
That's tough. I always say, don't do it. I say, don't do it. Don't get in. And it's half serious, and it's also half of a test, because for anybody who's in the industry right now, you know how hard it is to maintain your position in this industry. So if that's all it takes to dissuade somebody from joining radio, me saying, yeah, don't do it, then they're not going to last anyway. So if I just say, yeah, don't do it, and they go, okay, I won't, they weren't cut out for it. If you are trying to get in, I would say, you know, be a master at several things, you know, your social media, your digital, your interpersonal communications, your thought process. Do you have a thought on a topic that isn't spoon fed to you from TMZ or to a blog? Like, do you have something to bring, or are you just going to regurgitate stuff you see on the timeline? Because you need to be special. And what's your special thing? And I was just talking to a buddy of mine in Seattle and somebody I work with in Sacramento. It was the same week. They were like, hey, how do I get on the mic? I do a lot of behind the scenes stuff. I want a show. I want to, you know, be the next weekend person or whatever.
Yeah.
I said, well, they took away all the weekends. Not all, but most radio stations, they don't have live weekend talent. They don't have live overnight talent. That's where you used to hone your skills and practice. But back then, podcasting wasn't a thing. So it was either overnights and weekends, or you had no chance. Yeah. Now, anybody who wants, you know, a chance, or at least to be taken seriously at given a chance, grab a microphone, do a podcast thinking, what would my radio show be? What would my morning show be? What would my night show, afternoon show? What would my weekend show be? Do something. You get your reps in, you get your practice in, you get your chemistry if you're working with another person, how not to step on top of each other. You get to practice how to keep the ball in the air, how to keep a topic going so listeners don't tune out. So do your podcast, because that's for you to practice, and you'll get a couple good breaks. You'll get a couple good takes. You repurpose that to digital, and you send in your Instagram reel, your TikTok reels, your social media reel. You send that out as if it was the new air check. And people are like, oh, there's a million podcasts. Yeah, they are. But if you're podcasting for yourself to practice to get a radio job, don't worry about if you have listeners. Worry about you getting your reps and getting your practice. So do some sort of podcast. Do some sort of like fake shows. Get after it, because no one's going to come for you. You got to be like, hey, here's what I have to offer.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, everybody's looking at everything, right? So like PDs are looking at your social. That's the first thing they go to. They're swiping and stalking your Insta. They're going on your LinkedIn and swiping all the way down. They're going on your Facebook and swiping all the way down. You know, they're looking at everything, right? Your TikTok, and they're looking at all of your videos. They're looking at everything. They're Google searching you to see what comes up. Everybody can see everything. So you want to, you know, present yourself in the best way.
And I've never, when Twitter first came out, I was always like, you know what? I'll be funny on Twitter. I'll say stuff on Twitter. I'll say serious stuff, but I'm not going to say dumb stuff on Twitter. I'm not going to cuss on Twitter. It's just a bad look. It doesn't fit me. It doesn't fit my brand. I mean, I cuss a lot off microphone, but on social media, it doesn't fit my brand. And people have to be very careful on what they put on the internet and on social media. Because just like you said, your next boss or HR person is gonna be like, maybe we'll give them a chance. Maybe we'll pair them up and put them on the radio, and they'll scroll down and they'll be like, we don't want that comment or that, you know, image representing our station. So don't shoot yourself in the foot by trying to be cool on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter. Don't sabotage yourself.
Exactly. Not to say that you shouldn't be yourself, because you can be silly and goofy. And I was talking about how I drooled over the microphone because my allergies are like, I have liquids coming out of all orifices. And I was talking about how like the zipper is in the back of my pants instead of the front. Like, you can be silly and goofy and talk about stupid stuff, but just don't. Yeah. Again, like you said, don't sabotage yourself and just be smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are, going back a little bit to your comment about connecting and networking.
Yeah.
We have a lot of mutual contacts, but we have one that I didn't expect, that I didn't even know we would have. You know Q Myers, and I didn't know that you did.
Isn't it weird? Radio is such a fraternity.
And it's a small world.
It's a small world. We're all part of this club, and we overlap and we move on, and our circles connect with other people's circles. And yeah, Q, I am very impressed with Q. Q is one of these dudes like me who started as a van driver and probably got the same speech I did. Mm-hmm. I'm going to open a door for you that's really hard to get in, but you have to work your ass off to stay on the inside. Q did that. And he's blowing up, and he's huge in Vegas. He's huge in sports.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, we used to go on van hits together. Like, but so yeah, he is one of those people that got the opportunity and didn't fumble it. He went hard and he stayed in and he fought and he worked his butt off.
And he still is. He's one of the hardest working people I've ever seen. Like, he was my PD back in Vegas right before I got the job I have now. And he is still killing it. I mean, he has his own podcast, he's doing his own show, he's PD, he's running that thing. Like, and I used to give him crap about it, because I used to be the receptionist too, and I'd be there early in the morning, and I'm like, you don't even have to be there here until like 2 o'clock, what are you doing? He's like, no, I'm up at 5 a.m doing all this work before I even come into the building. Like, I'm up for 4 or 5 hours before I even come in here, just because it never stops. I'm like, you are insane, but that's what you got to do. You got to wear multiple hats and you got to just hustle.
You do. And the way the industry is consolidating and they're putting more and more on people's plates, he's right, it doesn't stop. But I do also want to tell people, they have to find a balance. They have to find a time to turn off, to put your phone in airplane mode, set your away message on your email, just refuse to work on your personal time, whenever that is for you. Like, I am on a lot of stations and I do a lot of work, social media, video editing, you know, whatever. I just have an ambition and a drive.
Yeah.
I took a vacation once and I told everybody, I'm turning my phone off. I'm not bringing my laptop. I was going to Hawaii. I'm not bringing my laptop. If anybody needs me, call my fiance, because if it's an emergency that I need to deal with, then you know her and you can get a hold of her. But it was the best week I've had in years. No social media, no emails, no text messages. And I told everybody, you can't reach me. If there's an emergency, call her, but you can't reach me. So yes, people like you and people like me that get up and they work before going to work and they get home and they keep working. You got to find a balance. Like, don't miss out on life because you have a huge checklist of to-dos every day.
Yeah, a lot of us forget that too.
A lot of us forget that. Well, I know.
And radio, or an industry like radio, it doesn't have to necessarily be radio, but any media platform or anything that involves this, is even a hobby, podcasting as a hobby, you can let it consume your life. Especially if you move somewhere where you don't have a lot of people around you, like that you know, or anything of that. And similarly, it can consume your life. So you have to remember to make friends and to actually have a life outside of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So we're going to do a thing that I like to call rapid questions, but it's not actually rapid. It started out to be rapid questions, and then now it's just ironically called that because it never seems to be rapid.
Sure. At least
So
you're owning it. At least you're owning that.
I am owning it. I tried it, and I think I first tried it with Marie. No, it was another half hour. It was great. Fantastic. Love her. Rapid, not necessary.
Yeah. We like to talk. Us radio people love to talk.
Love it. Love it. Never shut up. All right. So, first celeb crush.
Very first, Alyssa Milano.
The longest really? Celeb crush.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. From Who's the Boss? Like when we were both, I think we're about the same age. Alyssa Milano. And then Jessica Alba, like forever, Jessica Alba.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. That's fair. Oh, yeah. All right. Last show that you binge watched.
I just saw it too. It was, hold on. It was,
did you really binge watch it? Yellowstone.
Yeah. But it's just one of those like nights and you go, all right, next episode. It was, so White Lotus. Okay. So, Yellowstone, but then White Lotus. After White Lotus, we watched, something like a guy is in the CIA and he has to go find, I don't know, whatever. White Lotus was pretty much like the one I remember the most. There was something about some dude in the CIA who he looked like Joey Lawrence, but he wasn't Joey Lawrence, but it was distracting to me. And like, he was a, like an attaché, but they actually put him in the field. I don't know what it was called, but it was on Netflix, so we just binged it, me and my fiance.
I haven't seen White Lotus yet. It's on my list, but Yellowstone, I watched 3 seasons in 36 hours. It was amazing.
That's intense. That's
intense. My God. I was already a season in, and then I went to go visit my aunt and uncle for a weekend and just got away. I took one of those weekends where I turned off my phone, didn't do anything. And that's all we did. We watched Yellowstone for 30. I was only there for a little more than a day.
Yeah.
36 hours. We just binge watched 3 seasons, Strawberry. It was so funny. And then I got caught up all the way. It took me about another day or two to get another season in. And now I'm caught up, and now we need the second part to season 5.
Coming out in April, yeah. That I went to I was at my barbershop, and the guy's like, hey, have you seen Yellowstone? I'm like, nah, what's that? He's like, it's Kevin Costner. He's his cowboy. I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw commercials for that. I'm like, but nah, I'm not trying to watch a cowboy show. He goes, You don't understand. It's like the Sopranos, but they're cowboys. And I'm like, okay, now you got me. I'm gonna go watch one episode. And I'm like, holy crap. I'm so in. So a couple weeks later, I go back to my next haircut. I'm like, dude, I already knocked out the first season. Like, I'm on board with John Dutton and Beth Dutton and Rip. Like, I'm so on board. And yeah, it's such a show. It's such a good show. It's like if the Sopranos were cowboys. That's exactly the best way to describe it.
It makes you want to be a cowboy or cowgirl, but like, in a way that you're unsure about, because you're like, oh, well, like, this is what they do, but like, this is the image I have in my head of what a cowboy does, but like, they're so cool. They're like in their own little, it's a whole family. So it's like their own little gang, but it's so good. Beth and Rip, I totally ship. I love them.
It's a great show. It's such a great show.
So good. Okay. I had to get that off my chest.
No worries.
Music festival lineup, your dream music festival lineup.
Ooh. So since it's not a rapid fire question, so Ed Sheeran just did this concert. I guess he broke his attendance record. He was in Australia. I guess there was 110,000 people there. It was 110,000 people. And I'm thinking, damn, it's going to take forever to get out of that parking lot. Like, it's going to take forever to get to your car and get out of that parking lot. The lines for the bathroom are probably stupid. You're not going to get a beer or a pretzel. Like, that's just all that was going through my mind. So when like music festivals come up, like Coachella or, you know, what's the one, Lollapalooza in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I just go, that's a lot of people. Like, I wish I was there, but that's just a lot of, it's a lot of people like to use the bathroom and to parking. And if you want food. So that being said, music festival lineup. they are, the people who are doing these festivals are doing a real good job at mixing them up though. So,
oh yeah,
let's see, I would say I would want, okay, so I'd want like a Drake and a J. Cole, but then I would also want an Ed Sheeran and a Taylor Swift.
Okay. So you got like a couple different days. So that's fine.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I would also want like some Bay Area stuff, like E42 Short, G-Eazy, Federation, you know, because that's where I'm from. And then I would also like 21 Pilots, Imagine Dragons, like that type of vibe. So, you know, kind of eclectic, but just good vibes. And then like Sunday, maybe Sunday might be like a reggae and dance hall day, but I'm kind of all over the place, but that's where my musical tastes are.
I mean, you can take a little from every genre and just put them on a different day and be like, this is how all has one name, but five different genres. You can do that, whatever.
Yeah. And you know what? I would also start like Jamie Lee Curtis. I don't know if you saw this interview she did on the red carpet. I don't know where she was, but it's going viral this week. She was talking about Bruce Springsteen and Coldplay. She's like, hey, Coldplay, how about you do a matinee? How about you do a concert at noon? Because I'm like, I don't know how old Jamie Lee Curtis is, like 70 or something like that. Yeah. So, hey, Bruce Springsteen, do a 2 o'clock in the afternoon show. And I'm thinking comedy shows do that. Movie theaters do that. Start the thing earlier so we don't waste all day. And then if we want to go out and eat at night, it's not 3 in the morning. Like, so my music festival would start at noon, and it's nothing but headliners. It's nothing but headliners. No, like half-assed, no-name, D-list bands up until you get to 8 p.m. No, nothing but headliners. We're starting early. That's my music festival.
I love it. And yes, I saw that you start at 2 p.m. because you don't want to go and start it at 9. Yes, I saw that. Oh, it's so funny too. And yeah, what's funny is that I think about that. I'm like, wait, no, some of them do. But no, I started my concert journey as a kid going to see like the Four Tops and Little Anthony and the Imperials and Frankie Valli. And Frankie Valli now has shows that go on at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. But he used to also do shows that started at like 6. Okay. And the Four Tops and Little Anthony and the Imperials, I once saw their show that was at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon because there's a lot of older people that need to go to bed.
Yeah.
I was in that group as a 7-year-old. So my take of all concerts are not necessarily all up to date.
Right.
I'm 90. But yes, I totally agree. That needs to change, and I am so for your ideas for your musical lineup.
Hell yeah.
All right, Strawberry. So that's all she wrote today.
All right.
Thank you. Honestly, thank you for saying yes. I am always super shocked when people say yes to being on, and that is no exception to you. So thank you so much.
Yeah. No, I love it. And like I said, I love the fact that we are, as an industry, networking more, and we're saying yes more, and we're including each other more, because for the longest time, even, you know, like when I was first starting in radio, it was like, this is my show and my lane, and F that guy who's on a different station, and F that person because they work for a different company. I think that while I am very competitive, I kind of keep my competitiveness to my show. I want to do the best show I can, but I'm not in that same mindset of, if I see somebody from another station or another company or whatever out, I'm going to have beef with them or hard feelings or be uncomfortable. I just leave it all in the studio, and, you know, I put the best show I can forward. And I think a lot of people are subscribing to that mentality right now. Like, hey man, look, there's not a lot of us left. It's a new world. And at any point, we could either be fired or working at the same company. So why don't we just get along? And I don't know what it is. I just feel that more people are on the, let's get along and let's network and let the listeners fight it out. We know we fight enough just to stay employed. Like, we're all in this together type of thing. So I like that feeling that I see a lot of people subscribe to.
100%. Where can people find you on socials?
Twitter, Instagram, at Strawberry Radio. I think my TikTok is like Strawberry on the Radio. But yeah, most everything is at Strawberry Radio.
Last final thought. Where did Strawberry come from?
The short story, it's going to go back to high school again. I got the nickname because I have red hair. And I just picked up the nickname in high school. It was given to me. I did not create it. And it stuck. And when I was saying how I was in high school and I went to the radio station in San Jose, that was already my nickname. So when the guy said, "Hey, who wants to do a shout out?" I'm like, "I will." And he goes, "All right, go ahead, kid." I'm like, "Hey, what's up? It's Strawberry from Mountain View. I want to say what's up to blah, blah, blah." And then as we were talking and he said, "Hey, you want an internship?" I said, "Yes." He goes, "All right." And so he's on the radio now because he met me as Strawberry. He goes, "Hey, Strawberry is answering the phones. Call in right now with your requests." And then it was just, I was branded with it. And I grew up in radio with that nickname. So it just stuck. I just kept it.